Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, everybody. Just want to remind you, September 16th through the 18th, I'll be at the Phoenix House of Comedy, building out the tour now, so you'll start seeing more dates on RyanSickler.com. And this episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Liquid IV, Ritual, Go Henry, and Truff. More on that later. Let's get into the Dew.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We are over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I want to just let you know now, it's a little early, but we're doing it anyway. I'm starting to promote dates, so let me look at them. September 16th through the 18th, I will be in Phoenix House of Comedy, September 16th through the 18th. Go to my website, RyanSickler.com. Tickets will be available there. And please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Don't just watch. Hit that subscribe. It means nothing to you and everything to us. Everything. Hit the subscribe. And thank you for your support. The community continues to grow and grow. And the Patreon as well, the Honeydew with y'all. If you or someone you know, you do not have to be a member of the Patreon, has that story that has to be heard, submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Nowhere else, even though you guys keep sending it everywhere else and then yelling at me because I don't respond to your email that's not sent where I said to send it. And then I don't respond to being yelled at, okay? So honeydewpodcast@gmail.com, that's where you send your stories, and hopefully we get to do an episode with y'all, all right? It's a lot of fun. I loved my fucking job, and the stories are, we just had a guy get a kidney transplant from his best friend who kind of didn't want to fucking do it. So check it out, all right? It's only $5 a month, and you now get the Honeydew audio and video on Mondays, a day early, ad-free, at no additional cost. There's no cost to it, all right? It's $5 a month. Sign up for a year. It's a month free. All right, you guys know I record here at the Santa Monica Music Center, working through with Outreach Through the Arts right now, creating a couple podcasts. I'm also teaching a high school class at Culver City now, teaching them how to podcast. Ash and I are having fun with these kids and teaching them a lot of stuff. So you'll be seeing stuff coming out eventually when, you know, it's got to be all approved through school and shit. So anyway, you guys know what we do here. All right. We highlight the lowlights. It's a beautiful shit show, y'all. And today, the stories behind this storyteller, I'm sure, are going to be some shit we've never heard, guys. Back again here, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jason Ellis, y'all. Welcome back to The Honey.
Finally.
Finally.
It's fucking big, dude. This is a big day for me. I had no idea how big it was to be here the first time. It's like, you should change the name to the Ryan Sickler Experience because it's heavy for me. Everybody,
I appreciate it. Joe Rogan might have a problem with that.
Okay, we should probably not fuck with him, but you should be my representation to all the public of podcasting because I feel like you're just everybody accepts me through Ryan Sickler.
What are you talking about?
You should come on my show, and anytime you want me here, I should come on here, and that's it for me. I don't need to book anybody. I don't need to talk to anybody. Hey, man, we got Oprah. Why?
Why?
I got Sickler. Everybody loves Sickler. I don't understand why I would get Oprah. Someone's going to be like, oh, yeah, nice one. Fucking kissing some chick's ass. Sickler, love it, dude. Woo, you guys are hilarious.
That's very flattering. It makes me feel fucking good, man.
That's my podcast survey. Since I've seen you, that's what I know. That's what I've got.
Well, I'm glad to have you back anytime you want. I mean, your shit last time was just it's absolutely one of the most commented on show. And I told you, guests come on and they sit down over and they're like, I don't know, man. I don't have any Jason Ellis stories. I'm like, yeah, only Jason Ellis has Jason Ellis stories.
Yeah.
So real quick, before we get into everything, please plug everything right now. Yeah. We'll do it again at the end, but please get that out now.
Yeah, so the Jason Ellis show, that would be – that's my show. Putting a lot of work into that. So if anybody would like to check that out, comes out every Tuesday at midnight, the Jason Ellis Show podcast. It's free. Yeah, it's on YouTube. All that stuff. Like and subscribe. That would be really cool.
All right.
And then Hawk versus Wolf, first episode drops on the 24th of May, and that's a podcast with Tony Hawk and me talking about life, obviously based from older skateboarders.
All right. I can't wait to fucking listen to that shit.
I really like it because he's way better of a storyteller now, and he's past the talking only for 11-year-olds and under. Like, he can just say
whatever
a story that's like that involves being a mature adult, and it's like, whoa, because he never usually exposes that.
Oh, so he gets vulnerable on there, huh?
Yeah.
I love that. Well, it's also – that's what I say all the time. Like, you – to see the maturity of that man, like, that's the Michael Jordan of fucking skating, right?
Yeah.
Tony Hawk. He's the pinnacle of fucking skateboarding. We all love Tony Hawk. But to talk to you about his challenges, his fuck ups, his immature shit, like, I would love to hear that. Like, damn, Tony Hawk did that shit? You know, I think it's very uplifting, actually.
Yeah. No, he's surprisingly... He went through a lot of struggles. And as a fan from when I didn't know him as a youngster, mm-hmm. knowing that there were certain times where he was struggling for the way he was being treated in skateboarding, and I was a part of it, you know? Because I was like, he is a nerd. He has got a pink helmet on, and he doesn't do, you know, what Christian Osoe did. So there was like two sides, and to know that he wished he was cooler, or sometimes he regrets that he didn't party, and I'm like, man, I'm glad you didn't. You know, because people needed the other side to – because he's a better influencer than anybody else. If you looked up to him in skateboarding, that was a good idea. He was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
He's still doing it. You just brought up Michael Jordan. Imagine if Michael Jordan still played basketball.
I know. And still 360 dunking. And Tony not just played basketball, but fucking played
Tony
basketball.
Is at the ramp.
Yes.
Skateboarding.
I watch him. I love him. I love what he does.
Yeah, me too.
So that's weekly what? Tell me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's everywhere you get podcasts.
Yep.
Hawk and Wolf.
Hawk versus Wolf.
Hawk versus Wolf. Yeah. All right.
We don't fight each other. I'm trying to get him to fight me or somebody else because he agreed that I could teach him how to box a little bit. And I was like, if I teach you a good one too, then you got to like fight somebody. He's like, who could I fight? I'm like, Steve-O. You can fight Steve-O. But he probably won't do it. But no. I'm just trying to get Tony to punch people. I think it's funny. He's not a fighter.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a fighter.
No, but I still want to see him punch. I want to see you punch me, too.
I'll punch you. If you let me punch you, I'll punch you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I need a little bit of the pain. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just feel like it would be fun. You know, let's get a good workout. You can really go for it, you know? I will just go for it.
I'll be throwing up, missing you.
It's only 3 minutes, but it does get
that's
long.
300 minutes when you haven't fucking boxed.
Yeah, you're probably good for about.
I've trained. I've minute? Never boxed. I've worked on bags.
But
and
do
mitts.
You jog or anything?
No, hell no. Yeah, do I look fucked. Like I do road work?
I
no.
don't know, dude. No. Bert Kreischer fucking runs every day,
right,
and he's way
that.
Fatter than you. Come on. He's almost great, a super athlete for like
he
that
is.
Shape. I fucking can't believe it.
He's gonna say all he says that Mickey Mantle gene. He must really have that.
No, the machine is a good name for him.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk, man. The last episode was just mind blowing shit.
Yeah,
you know, there's been nothing like that. But there was obviously we didn't get to all of your stuff. So all you've right. struggled with heroin. You've struggled with addiction, obviously. Tell me about, well, all right, what's the, let me ask you this way. Yeah. What's the best drug you've ever done? What's the most fun you've ever had doing a drug?
Well, man, I think that's got to be...
excluding weed. We're not even going to throw weed.
It's
got to
be Molly, right?
Is that right? I've never had
like,
it.
I mean, to me, the best time is when you're having sex. If I could do like a skateboard trick and have sex at the same time, that'd be pretty good. But it's just pretty difficult, you know, to do that. One time I had sex with a girl in a shopping trolley. But we were going down the road.
You fucked in a grocery cart?
Yeah, because we found it on the side of the road. And I was like, it'd be cool if we did that.
I'm the same way. I'll share. Go ahead.
But going down the road was like a little bit like that. So it started to go off towards the gutter. I'm not going to pump her into the gutter and go ass first with my dick stuck in somebody. Somebody could get really hurt. Like, I don't even know what kind of slam that in, like, my head on the ground and a boner in somebody. Like, you can snap your boner, too.
You could probably come really hard like that, though, I'll bet. Crack your fucking head and make it nut everywhere.
I'm not a cum...
For you.
I never thought I was going to say this, but I'm not a cum slammer. Did not know that I was going to say that today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, but heroin is...
Wait, let's go back to some weird places you've had sex. So we drove past a construction site. Like, you know how they leave the bulldozers overnight? Because nobody can steal it if they just take the
you
keys.
You fuck on
and
a
shit.
Bulldozer?
Yeah, we did. On a bulldozer.
Yeah, wait. In the seat?
No. On the fucking... On the treads. We just stood up on it.
On the
big... Yeah, well, the doors are locked and they take the keys.
Oh,
so we just stood up on the tread because, you know, the treads
are
like this
wide. So, like, just
doggy... Yeah, standing up doggy style.
Yeah.
But the one that got away, this one bummed me out. And we tried, but it was protected. There happened to be, I don't know what it was, a parade or whatever, but there was a fucking tank in the parking lot of the shopping mall. And they had security, like one guy, but he would drive the whole fucking mall. So we were trying to get on that tank. I wish I could say I had sex on a tank, but we couldn't. We tried. We were sneaking up, trying to get out. A guy come by with a flashlight and shit. I'm like, God damn it.
Man, yours are way more glorious than mine.
Why? Your shopping cart? What else you have?
I had sex with a chick in a dog kennel. And she was... I follow her now on Instagram. She has like a kid and stuff. She's like a nice lady. But at the time, I was living with some pro surfers, and I had this weird little room where I was smoking coke a lot, and I didn't know how to do crack, and my nose would hurt from doing so much coke. So I would just sprinkle coke.
Well,
on
you're snorting it, and okay, so you switch to smoking it because you're
Is that like a cocoa puff in a way?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we called it. Yeah,
right. So a cocoa puff. So I had these. I mean, pro skateboarder, no real other life. I bought a guinea pigs or gerbils or something. I don't know what they were, little guys. And they all fucked and made, like, I'd go to a contest and come back and they'd be like, there was like 100 of them.
Are you
and then,
serious?
Dude, they eat each other's heads and butts. I saw heads and I'm like,
what do you mean?
You ate his ass. Somebody ate somebody else's.
You come back and it would be dead and it'd be missing an ass?
There was heads, like somebody.
Dude,
I swear,
I don't know
gerbils have no remorse. Like, they do not play. They fucking eat and their babies.
I didn't know any of this.
House got two. Apparently, I can only tell you from like outside looking in. I'm not in the community. But when I.
But when you're not in the gerbil
I'm not in
community,
the gerbil community. Fucking proud to say that, actually.
Especially, another thing, you probably didn't think
a lot of people probably were worried about that. Is he a member of the gerbil community or is he not? Because I know he's a raging homo, so you never know.
Shit.
Turns out I'm not. Never put animals in me. So yeah, and then I had it was like a really crusty, smelly box of slaughter. And then so she didn't really want to fuck in there. And I was like, we could just fuck in the dog kennel. She's got really nice teeth. She was a dental assistant. I'm not going to say what I called her because I don't think it's – she had a name for herself because she was – and yeah, no, you're doing well. Yeah, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, dog kennel. So never really anything, you know, on the top of a mountain or, you know what I mean, on a ship or, you know, I never
– We used to just drive around and there would be a cornfield. And we'd be like, you want to go fuck in the cornfield? Like, yeah. And we just pull over and then run off into the cornfield. You can't see. You're fucking there and come back.
Once I howled in a girl's ass on the roof of her house. I was so proud of myself. It was super hard to get her up there, too. She was so useless.
Was it harder to get her up there or harder to howl at her ass?
It's not that hard to howl. Especially when you got a nice ass in front of it, you know? You can get right into
what
it.
What the fuck?
I still think that's such a glorious thing to do.
Oh, was it in the, like the? I just see you. I just see the silhouette and a full moon.
That's
up
what
there
I thought. That's what I visualized. I was like, "That's living," you know.
And is it? Was it a flat roof or was it like this? Like,
oh, there was like the shingle things.
Yeah, dangerous, man.
Come on, fucking.
But for her, you don't give a fuck.
I would have grabbed her. She'd be all right.
She's all scratched up. Like okay. Her face is gone.
That would never happen, man. I would fucking jump in front of her face and push her back. I'm not that guy.
I'm sure I know you're a gentleman.
Yeah.
I am sure everyone wants to know what technically you mean by howling. Like, did you literally
fucking fucking in
our neighborhood
animal
lights
style.
Fucking turning on.
It was nighttime. Nobody was like, "Hey, quit that." I didn't hear anybody say that.
Quit howling her asshole, man.
Yeah, it was
trying
more like
sleep.
Yeah, I was just really drunk and I would like saying it, you know? I like saying I'm going to howl in your ass. And then she was like, "I'll do it." And I was like, "Okay, let's do it." No one ever did it. I never did it again.
Oh, my God.
And it wasn't like a weird kinky thing. It was just...
it was a one and done, yeah.
Just, I always liked wolves, you know? I liked James Hetfield because he would have on his guitar, he had the fretboard where it was a man that turned into a wolf, not a monkey turned into a man. You don't even get it. I'm a wolf man, you fucking idiots. I'm like, I like that.
Yeah.
He's cool.
I love that dude.
Yeah, right.
That was my first concert ever, Metallica and Ozzy Osbourne. I was in seventh grade. We convinced our parents to let us go, and I will never forget seeing Cliff Burton.
Oh, wow. You saw Cliff Burton?
I sure did. I saw Cliff. We were in seventh grade. I still have the ticket stub. Saw Cliff Burton. So it was Ozzy Osbourne, man. Ultimate Sin. He was the headliner. Metallica was the opening band
for
him.
Ozfest or whatever?
No, this was way before that. This is like, I'm in seventh. This is the 80s.
Yeah.
So it's just on regular tour. Ozzy's the headliner. Metallica's opening. And it's the Master of Puppets album.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they come out. And we have been listening to Master of Puppets. Like, we had so it was me, my brother, and my buddy Jason. And Dan Alosky. And his older brother, Brian, was like, "Y'all need to check this Ride to Lightning shit out." We were like, fuck is this? You know, and then we were like, whoa. So we got in early on, then went back. You know, we're listening to Kill 'Em All and everything. And then Master of Puppets hits. And our minds are blown. Like, these guys are the fastest, hardest rocking band we've ever heard. And then we go to the concert. We're in seventh grade. We convinced our parents to let us go together. And we sat in the last row under the pavilion. People are passing joints down. And we're so scared. You know, we're just passing them right along. Like, you probably would have been like,
how old are you in seventh grade? Because I don't think I went to school
12-ish,
that long.
12-ish, maybe.
Oh, no, I went to school that long.
And then... did we talk about that? You dropped out of school? Hold on. We're coming back. But I remember, and it's so funny because I crank Metallica for my daughter all the time. She loves them. And she's like, "Dad, do you think their heads hurt when they bang?" I go, "You know what's so funny?" And I told her this story. This is why we're in a simulation. I just told this story to her like 2 days ago that, I fucking couldn't believe seeing Cliff Burton. Like, he didn't half-ass it. This motherfucker's head was banging the entire fucking
circles.
Time. And not just little dude cranking.
Yeah.
And I remember being a kid just mesmerized by this guy. And then it was I don't even think it was a month later they had the bus accident and he died. So I got to see him. And then years later, I went to Monsters of Rock and it was Faith No More. And then Metallica had the middle set. And then it was GNR. But I always thought Metallica had the better set because they had that day into sunset into night. You know what I mean? I thought that was sick. So you got a little bit of daylight and they're playing for their hour and a half, 2 hours. And by the time they're done, it's pitch black now. You know what I mean? And then, of course, GNR comes out an hour later because they didn't want to go out fucking follow that shit. Let's take a...
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Liquid IV. Now, my love for Liquid IV goes back a ways, but definitely during the pandemic when I got the virus. And I was run down, exhausted. And since then, I've still been exhausted. I've been taking Liquid IV the entire time. It absolutely helps. The tangerine with the zinc and the vitamin D and the immune support, I love it. All right. So when you're pushing your body hard or just feeling run down, it's extremely important to take care of ourselves with the proper vitamins and nutrients. And that's why Liquid IV created Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support to maintain and strengthen your immune system. Look, I love it. I keep it in the car. I got it at the house. People come over. Josh Adam Myers comes over and takes like 40 of the damn things. I love them. He loves them. They work. Trust me. All right. Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support is a cutting edge blend of vitamin C, zinc, and Wellmune in convenient single serving packets to help strengthen your immune system. Each packet is bursting with fresh, natural tangerine flavor. And I'm telling you, it tastes so good. This one's my absolute favorite. Liquid IV can provide 2 to 3 times faster and more efficient hydration than water alone. When you purchase Liquid IV, you're joining their mission to help people live better lives everywhere. Get your Liquid IV's Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support in bulk at Costco or order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code HONEYDEW at checkout. That's 25% off of anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code HONEYDEW at liquidiv.com. Our next sponsor is Ritual. Now, Ritual is my new daily multivitamin. I love it. I've been taking it for months now and I'm not switching. I got them on regular monthly. It shows up in the mail and boom, there it is. All right. And we deserve to know what we're putting on our bodies and why, especially when it comes to something we take every day. Ritual's clean, vegan-friendly multivitamin is formulated with high-quality nutrients in bioavailable forms your body can actually use. What you won't find are sugars, GMOs, major allergens, synthetic fillers, and artificial colorants. All right. I'm telling you, I was looking for a multivitamin for a while. I always took like, you know, whatever, the one a days you get at the grocery store or Rite Aid or whatever. And they're garbage. They're garbage. Like you really look at what they have in and they're terrible for you. A multivitamin should contain key nutrients and forms your body can actually use to help fill gaps in the diet. No shady extras. Ritual is made traceable. You'll always know what nutrients you're taking and where they come from thanks to Ritual's one-of-a-kind visible supply chain. Ritual makes healthy habits easy. Your multivitamins are delivered to your door every month with free shipping always. You can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And if you don't love Ritual, within your first month, they'll refund your first order. All right. Get key nutrients without the BS. Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/honeydew to start your ritual today. Now, let's get back to the dude.
But, yeah, he was a bitch, though. Axl was always bitchy. And if you're trying to compete and you're a guy that parties, and Metallica was more of like, yeah, they party, but they were also way more interested in being the best. So at that time, you were probably going to lose if there was some sort of
And, you know, he's contest. Like a hunter and shit and basically had to get out of San Francisco and shit like that.
He's like sober now. He had like tons of battles with it too, yeah. Right?
He's a beast. I love all of them. I love you know what I love? And that's why I love our fans, like the support. That whole thing where if you've ever seen their Behind the Music where there was some band coming on before them when they were coming up in San Francisco, but they were already super popular underground up there. And they said the whole audience turned their backs and just went like this until that band got off the stage because they were like, we're not here to see you.
Right. I mean, they were that good, dude. I mean, eras of music, and then go back and listen to that. Master of Puppets it's a masterpiece.
It absolutely is. And then to hear them do it with the symphony and everything else, it's great.
They're way better.
Speaking
now.
Of masterpieces, back to your drunk stories.
Mm. Which one? What happened?
What's this one about? You were saying something about in a tent.
Oh, man. Okay. So I'm sponsored by Pal Peralto. I was on Pal because. The Bones Brigade had existed before me, and Steve Caballero, who was in the Bones Brigade, was still on PAL at the time. So I was like, holy shit, I could be on a team with Steve Caballero. Yes, I will. I'll do the deal. So I'm on the team.
I got to ask you, sorry to interrupt. Which one went to prison? Was it Hosoi?
Yeah,
Christian. It was Christian Hosoi. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
So I get on the team and we do some tours and stuff, and I get to meet Stevie and kind of be his friend. But obviously Stevie is Steve Caballero, so it's not. I've never been. My party side never really flexes in front of Stevie because he's on the Bones Brigade and he could call George Powell. And I just don't want to look bad in front of somebody who is such a legend. So I always try to kind of, you know, do the demo and I'm like, yeah, Stevie, all right, man. And then I'm gonna take off. And then I go get crazy. So we're on this tour. I think it's Big Day Out. So there's all rock and roll bands and all this shit. And every tour, every place we get, we just get a tent. So everyone gets a tent. And it's, you know, it's Australia, summertime. So I go out that night and I get fucking super hammered. I used to do this thing when I was super hammered where I would say, wherever I was, I'm standing there. You can hang out. I'm standing there. And then I go, quick impression, Mel Meninga. Mel Meninga is like this fucking like native New Zealand guy that played in rugby. I don't even follow rugby. I just remember this Mel Meninga dude. He would always just knock everybody over. And then I'd run off and just smash something.
Okay.
So I'm partying on, you know, I mean, some city in Australia.
How old are you at this time?
25, 26.
Okay.
And I go, quick impression, Mel Meninga. You know, run off and there's a trash can that's like bolted to a pole on the sidewalk. And I fucking, you know, I mean, jump and smash into it. And it snaps and spins around and hits the car on the like park next to it. And then the bouncer comes out and he's going to beat me up. And everybody comes out and goes, oh, he didn't mean it. And then they go, well, you better get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, fuck, sorry, whatever. Go back to the tent. And I go to take a piss before I get in the tent. And I'm, you know, talking to myself, drunk as an asshole. And I just fell back. And I've never, usually when you fall, like if you ever like get frightened when you're peeing, you can kind of stop.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was so wasted, I was trying to get my dick to like steer it somewhere because I would try to get up and I'm like, wow, I can't get up.
Steer
and I'm like,
it.
And I'm like, instead of.
Steer.
Yeah, because it's doing the fucking
wheel.
It's out of control. You know what I mean? I'm like, and I'm like, where is it? You know what I mean? I'm like, stop doing it at me. You know what I mean? And then. Finally, I'm like, oh my, by the time I fucking get my dick in my hand, I've pissed all over myself. And I'm like, God damn it. I get in the tent. I'm like, man, what kind of an idiot does that? And then I go to sleep and I wake up and it's fucking, obviously I went to bed late and now it's in the stinking hot summer sun and I've been asleep, it's probably about 11, I would say. So I've been baking in there. So I wake up. I wake up and my face is wet and I see my hand and my phone next to my hand and it's underwater because the tent is a plastic base. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why is it underwater? And I like lift my head up and I'm like, I fucking pissed myself.
How many times?
I maybe it was just like more weight in the head area, but the main area of the piss puddle was in
my. If your phone's on her, dude,
and it was like it wasn't like the phones of today. It was like a chunky one, and that fucking thing was gone. It was submerged, and this is back when phones that go submerged, they don't come back, dude. You don't like dry the SIM card out or some shit. It's over.
Oh God!
But
yeah.
So I see that, and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, my face is super puffy and I'm, I fucking, like try to unzip the tent and put my head out there. And I put my head out there and I'm like, I just sort of moved it out of the way and I put my head out there and Steve Caballero is coming
from
the showers with like, you know, he's fucking bathroom kit, fucking towel. Cause he's all organized and my face is all swollen and shit. And I didn't even know this, but apparently he was returning from the shower. He'd already walked by, and apparently my leg was hanging out the whole time. So apparently I didn't even make it all the way into the tent when I made a piss puddle for myself. And there was a line of ants going across the back of my leg.
Just rolling right along.
So Steve Caballero is telling the story in the bus, and I'm like, I'm fired. Like, I'm kicked off for sure. And then he just thought it was funny or whatever, but... I remember thinking, this is not what I want to show Steve Caballero.
Yeah.
I was pretty bummed out about that. But that's a fun one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't hurt you, right?
No, heroin was always I didn't do anything bad.
What are you doing that you finally transitioned to heroin? But okay, knowing you also, it could just be somebody's like, hey, let's try this. I don't know.
Well, the first time I ever did it was black tar heroin in Vancouver.
What exactly is black tar heroin?
Tell me about it. That's what I said.
I just want to know about it. I don't want to do it.
Dude, I've had two experiences. One time I snorted, but I don't want to get into that one. The first time I did it, pro skateboarder and I, you know, doing all these bumps, and then he's like, we should get some heroin. I was like, yeah, what's that like? He's like, oh, if you get some black tar heroin, you can just smoke it. It's mellow. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. Well, let's go to, man, what's the fucking park in Vancouver that's sketchy as hell? Some park where.
Some mile hit or something.
Where somebody, I forgot what it's called, but we're there, you know, 3 a.m. Anyone got any heroin? Like, it's not very, but somebody gave us some. And then I remember, you know, he showed me,
This is your first time, and you were like, yup, all the way. You weren't like, I don't know.
Well, this guy sounded like he'd done it before, and he still skateboarded good. So I figured it's not that bad.
Okay.
Otherwise, I mean, he'd be in trouble. So they put the, it looks like Vegemite. It's like tarry black shit. And you put it on the foil. I don't know any other way you do it. Put it on the foil, and then you hold the foil, and then you heat it up, and you smoke it with the pen.
Little glass pipe pen.
No, just a pen. You could probably do it if you had a bigger budget, but that's not what we were doing.
You hauled out one of those old Bics, like the best. Those are the best spitball pens. You know those white ones that either had the blue or the black tip?
You hauled those out.
Poof, we used to hit each other all the time.
Yeah, I remember getting hit by those.
So you're fucking... This is your first time ever.
Yeah, heating it up in the kitchen, and then, you know, hey, I feel it. And I'm like, cool. Not the biggest highlight of my life, but I was like, all right, black tar heroin. Every now and then, seems okay.
Did you feel like you could function? Did you feel like you can go skate on that right then?
No fucking way.
No.
No, there was a beer on the floor in front of me, and I was going like this in front of it. I was trying to get the beer to go in my mouth. And that's the only part of my body I could move. And I was like, maybe my lip will tip it.
And how long did you feel like that?
Probably an hour or something.
Okay. And then what? Then you get addicted or?
Well, then I go, dude, this is so weird. But to tell the real truth of it is in skateboarding, I've hooked up with a trans chick in Australia in front of these two other pro skateboarders from Australia. We left the bar.
In front of them.
We were at a... big dinner party. I took a bunch of ecstasy, and this fucking trans chick comes in. She's fucking hot as fuck. But it's back in the 90s, so it's like nobody can touch her. And I've got a girlfriend at the time where we were trying to like have open relationship shit, and she knew that I was a little fruity. And I think she was just mad. I don't know how it really worked, but we locked eyes. And we were just into each other, and we just left together in front of everybody.
The girl,
I told my girlfriend, I'm like, I'm going to hook up with her. And she's like, yeah, fuck off.
For real?
Yeah. So I just leave, and I remember those two going, oh, you're fucking gay. Like, I'm telling it. And I remember thinking.
Tonight!
I just remember thinking, I'm not thinking. You're just so hot, and I'm so high, and this would be the greatest thing I could ever think of. I'm going. So then, where was I? What was that for?
You were just walking out with a trans chick.
Yeah, so I walked out with her. So then later on in life, in skateboarding, when those dudes came to America, they decided to not be my friend anymore because at the time they were my friends.
Oh, so they saw you walk out and that was the end of your relationship with them.
No, we were friends after that.
Oh, you were.
But then when he... switched on me. In America, he decided to not like me anymore. When he became really good, he started telling everybody about this encounter that I'd had, which then it was just, you're an F-bomb. That's, Ellis is a fag. He hooked up with a tranny. That's, at the time, that's what they were saying. So I deny it, obviously. And everybody else is like, I know, right? Like as if Alice would, because Alice has got, I got all the girls. I got the accent. I mean, maybe I'm not the best skateboarder, but I can talk and I'm a wild guy. So if it's a contest, I'm getting whoever's like the local hot chick, I'm get the fuck out of the way, like all you other dudes that are better than me. You don't have the extra game that I have. So no one ever thought that if you have a lot of game with girls that you would ever go the other way. So it was almost like, you know, all this shit is all bullshit. Then tattoo fucking crazy guy. I'm just like trying to hide from the fact that I'll suck a dick. It's like how tough, you know what I mean? Like tough guys don't, you know what I mean? Penis, fucking kick your ass. It's like it's all facade, man. I love you, dude. I'm terrified and ready to blow.
Let me go back to this for a second. In the professional skate community, were there other guys that were gay or bi curious?
Good question. First person ever come out, Brian Anderson.
Okay.
And Brian Anderson was a really famous, really good street skater who was on a really popular skateboard company, Girl Skateboards. And everybody just accepted it. And I was like, oh, wait, I know what this is. This is, he's really famous and really popular in skateboarding. And I'm in vert skateboarding, the jock part of skateboarding. That's in Carlsbad.
So is that like in the comedy world? Is he in the alt scene? Like he's doing this shit? Yeah, okay.
They're all just right. More open-minded.
Yeah.
And I also believe if you're super popular, it's not, I mean, if you're just in the middle, you can, I really feel like it's maybe the town that I was in because it was very, like a lot of people said when they'd heard it, hey man, I heard you're a fag, but. Obviously, I know you're not a fag, but if you were a fag, we wouldn't be cool. You know that.
And I'm like, they would tell you that? We wouldn't be cool?
One of my dearest friends, one of the greatest skateboarders, I'm not going to say his name because he's still cut up about it. I'm trying to get him on my show to confess it all because people have accused him for being a bit of a homophobe. And he was back in the day. But I think he's an older man now that kind of regrets it.
Sure.
But that's good, though.
That means he grew.
I told him that story. He's like, I don't remember that. And I'm like, it's funny how...
Nothing to you, and it scarred me.
Fucking
forever.
I remember thinking, we're never real friends ever again. And you don't even know that we're not real friends ever again. You know? That's the thing you don't realize about all those little actions that people do day to day that cut those kind of people up, terrifies them, gets them to do heroin with prostitutes.
Yeah, tell me about heroin with prostitutes.
So the heroin dies. Then these guys are talking about me being gay in America, and people are questioning it, and he's trying to fight me.
And you're in the closet. You're hiding it the whole time.
Fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. I'm not telling anybody. The only person I told was a guy that
whose dick you sucked. Who else are you gonna tell?
The guy that I used to we'd fuck each other and his wife.
Nah, really?
Yeah. No, it started with the wife. I'll do this. I'm not going to say names, so it doesn't matter. But at first it was like, do you want to fuck my wife? And I was like, yeah. And then it was like,
what circle do you run in that you get asked that more than once? I've been asked
when I had hair, I was pretty attractive. I know it's all fucked up now, but I used to be strikingly handsome. Like I feel like it would be, and then the accent in America. Maybe it's died off a little bit now and I've lost my accent, but it used to be blatant. You know, I used to be hot. I remember it because I know I'm not now. I don't walk into a room and chicks go, oh shit. They go, oh my God. You know what I mean? The fuck happened? Which is cool. Everybody has their run. Fuck, man.
Everybody's got their run.
Do you know the other part though? Like if there's like full, there's certain kinds of chicks that still think I'm hot and 9 times out of 10, those girls, fuck, like, real, proper. So I don't get mismatches anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into me, that's what's going to work. It's going to work out.
Right, yeah.
You know
what you like at this point. Not you, them.
Yeah, we find each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like from across the room. You can, hey, I'm Tweak. Hey, me too.
And you want to fuck my wife, okay.
Yeah, so that one worked into a couple of years down the road doing some e-bombers, and it was like, let me just jerk you off. And I was like, all right. I mean, like, I've already had, like, three other.
So, wait, you first fucked his wife by yourself, not a threesome?
Not with him.
Oh, a threesome. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And he wasn't watching.
No, he'd be in on the action.
Okay.
And then, like, sometimes, you know, getting a little, like, sometimes he'd pull it out and put it, and I'm like, whoa, fucking steering my dick, like, dang, you know what I mean? Like, that was a power
back
move.
Steering it again.
A power move. I was like,
power steering, bro.
Yeah. And then I. I'm like, I don't even know if that was that necessary,
shit.
But
he's placing your dick in his wife.
Yeah, and
God
then he would film it a lot, and he would
film,
like.
So this is out there of you.
For him, sure, yeah.
Do you think he still watches it and jerks off to that shit?
I don't want to answer that. He, if he ever,
he probably definitely may, does. Probably, oh yeah, you
probably
know
not. Probably not.
Probably so.
But anyway.
Where's my VHSC cassette?
I know. That's how I feel like I'm so safe from talking about it all the time. Like, you can't blackmail me. Hey, man, I got video of you fucking me. Yeah. I'm like, go ahead, post it.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it might be a worse look for him than me. But anyway, where did that go from? So then, yeah, that ends up being where we both agree that we're bi in the middle of doing that, and obviously his wife already knew, so it was no big thing. So then after that, it was kind of.
Then you just shifted just you and him?
No. Oh. I mean, yeah, there was a couple of times where in the end it was me and him. I mean, he ended up getting divorced and stuff. So him and I have had a long line of everybody we date, we've both had sex with. At one point, he had sex with the wife that used to punch me in the face. He fucked her behind my back.
Nah.
Yeah.
While and you then, were married?
Yeah. And then when we got divorced, because he used to say, he's like, man, you should try and ask her if she wants a threesome. And I was like, dude, trust me, she is not the chick that's going to do it. She's not going to fuck you. And he'd already fucked her. So he tells me like 5 years later after I get divorced, he's like, yeah, man, I mean, it was crazy, but I did fuck your wife. And I was like, what? Really? And he's like, yeah, I know. And he was like, you know what? Let me make it up to you. You know, let me give you some money. And I was like, you know, I didn't have any money. I was like, really? Like, what kind of money? And I think he gave me like 10 grand or something.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And man, I was your like, fuck, we're sweet. Must have fucking brought her A game, man.
She was really hot.
10,000 for one fuck?
Oh, he probably fucked her a couple of times if I know him.
All right. 5,000 still a lot too, bro.
Hey, more power to them. I really don't feel bad.
More power to you. You got $10,000 yeah, and walked I, you, away
I made
from
a,
that shit.
I made the Wolf Knives with it. Like, I made a skateboard company that's still the Wolf Knives.
Hold on.
Oh, shit, yeah.
You funded a company with the money you got from a guy who fucked your wife behind your back. Listen, that's
the moral of this show, right?
That's called doubling down and investing in yourself.
Turn it around, flip it upside down, baby. Wolfknivesstore.com.
You motherfucking entrepreneur.
Yeah, get on down there and grab yourself a T-shirt.
Oh, my God, dude.
Oh, man.
All right. Yeah. You were heading toward.
The hair. Okay, so. Yes, so the
heroin.
Yeah, so the gay bashing got, like, I couldn't do it, dude. I couldn't go to contests anymore.
It was just because they were bashing you or just the culture itself was just intimidating
he was like,
to be
well,
around?
Well, they'd be like, there was a group of people that were like 100% sure that he was right. So I lost friends.
I see.
So then I had this awkward thing that was probably a bigger deal to me than everybody else. But I was at the ramp thinking maybe 20% of the people here are not cool with me anymore because they think I had sex with a trans person. And I was like, man, I can't live like this. And he was always barking at me at every contest. I'm like, you guys just, no one would say anything. It's fuck, what's up, cunt, fucking suck. And I'm like, fuck off, dude. It's like, we want to fucking go. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go. I'm terrified of fighting. And he knew it, you know? I left, that's another reason why I got into fighting, because I was like, that's not going to happen to me anymore. Like, you're not going to, if you want to go, okay, we'll fucking go. Because I was done with that. I was.
So that's what drove you into fighting.
A lot of it. I mean, yeah. Also my childhood. I mean, I always wanted to be able to protect myself, and I just thought I could until I faced really tough psychopathic people, and I was like, you're crazier than me, and I'm fucking scared of that.
Isn't that fucking, that's a shock when you meet somebody, you're like, oh, no, you're fucking,
right.
You're crazy.
So then I had to like rise to it, because if you're crazy, you're not going to get me anymore. Like, which is terrible, because now all I do is work on not being that person. Like, you cut me off, you say some shit. Like, I'm just there. I'm ready. Like, in 3 seconds, I can be like, well, we can fucking sort it out right now, cunt, if you want to go. And I'm like, dude, stop being that person. Like, whoever that person is, cut him out. He's no good ever. Even when you win, because I'm still a nice person. So when I do that guy and then I do beat you up, I know I'm a piece of shit more than anybody. So I just don't want to ever get in that ever again. I just walk away.
That's smart. I mean, because you could kill somebody. You could.
Everybody could kill somebody.
Yeah, luckily, but you could fucking strike somebody. There's a strategy.
Yeah.
You could throat punch somebody quick.
Yeah.
I'll never forget once. I'm going to tell you this made me laugh. There's two things.
I love how this is funny.
This is so we're at a house party back in the day when I played community college, all JUCO. We went to a house party.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of the cool guys on the team would, you know, about 8 to 10 of us would roll deep and we'd go to these parties and shit. And we're at this one guy. He's on the team. So everybody's learning everyone's neighborhoods. You know what I mean? Come on, we're going to do a party in our neighborhood tonight. Because community college, you commute, you know?
Yeah.
So we're at this one guy's, his people's, you know, his friends from high school or whatever, because we're just out of high school. And there's this guy drunk and he's talking shit. And this dude's name was Howie, and he did not fuck around. He just did not fuck. He was Baltimore City, like just that resting bitch face for a dude, too. You know what I mean? Just always nicest fucking guy, though. And this dude's talking shit to this girl over here, and he's in her fucking face. And Howie just walks up. And I mean, he doesn't even know these, but we're just, and he just fucking punches the dude right in the goddamn throat. At that time, I know this guy's going, and I think he fucking crushed that dude's fucking throat. And we're like, what the fuck? He's like, don't fucking ever talk to her like that again. You hear me? And I was like, holy shit.
That's scary.
That's the kind of shit one would see.
Get punched in the neck, man. Adam's apple surgery.
Yeah, probably.
Could you imagine that?
No. Mm-mm. I don't even like when my teeth hurt. I've been in a ton of fights, but not anymore. I will only fight now. If I have to fight, I will fight, you know, but I'm not. I hear you. I was that too. Like, what the fuck? You know, right away to yell and be so angry.
Yeah, but it sounds like you had that when you were at an age that made more sense.
I still have. It never goes away.
Right. Have a better grip on it. I love how you say I try, because I'd be lying if I didn't say the same thing. If I'm like, no, I pretty much got it under control. Like, you could pay somebody to say something when I leave today where I'll punch him. You know?
Yeah, I do.
Like, there's a certain line where I'd be like, what? Okay, well, then go.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our next sponsor, Truff. Now, I'm really excited about Truff. I'm excited about all our sponsors, but this is a new sponsor. The brand Truff is a luxury hot sauce brand inspired by the elegance and indulgence of truffles, all right? Exclusive, eye-popping, and mouth-watering. A hot sauce brand like none other. Look, they sent me some stuff, all right? Here's what I got. I got a pasta sauce, black truffle pasta, black truffle arrabbiata, mayonnaise, spicy mayo, all black truffle, a hot sauce, a hotter sauce, which I used last night that was delicious, and then a white truffle hot sauce, which is bomb. I'm telling you, there's no one I haven't given it to that doesn't love it yet. Their original hot sauce blends black truffles, ripe chili, savory spices, and organic agave nectar. Their hotter sauce, that's the one I was eating last night, takes the heat up a big notch with extra jalapenos, red chili, and habanero for those who demand the spicier things in life. And the white truff hot sauce is infused with rare and decadent white truffle. I'm telling you, this stuff is so good. They even have an olive oil. All right. More than 1 billion organic shout outs on Instagram and over 1 million likes on TikTok. They are the number one best selling sauce on Amazon, number one best selling sauce on Whole Foods, over 10,000 customer reviews. Loyal chefs around the world use it. It's been on Oprah's Favorite Things twice, y'all. All right. It all started December 2017. Two college friends, okay? They're in their dorms doing their things, Nick Guillen and Nick Adjuluni. They looked under the hood of their popular Instagram platform, Sauce, and they discovered a huge sweet spot in the billion-dollar condiment category. So they started exploring with hot sauce industry. You know, it's all dominated by the legacy brands. They had no real connection. And after 2 years, they spent meticulously testing literally hundreds of hot sauce recipes out of their parents' garage. They landed on Truff, a luxurious hot sauce infused with black truffle. As a digital native brand, Truff carved out a distinct space in an otherwise ironically bland sea of hot sauces. All right, now,
You can get 15% off site-wide plus free shipping with promo code HONEYDEW at truff.com. That's T-R-U-F-F.com. That's 15% off of everything at T-R-U-F-F.com. That's F as in fantastic. Promo code HONEYDEW. You got to try it out. Our next sponsor is GoHenry. Now, if any of you as kids learned about money, unlike me, all I really learned was how to save it, spend it. I knew if I saved it for this thing, you know, a toy or whatever, I wanted an action figure, I wanted a baseball glove, then I would spend it on that. Growing up, you don't have parents like me, don't educate you on money, so you get a little bit behind. But teaching your own kids how to be responsible with money doesn't have to be tough, all right? GoHenry makes it easy to teach kids a lifetime of financial skills. Helping your kids be financially literate can make a huge difference in their future, and GoHenry can help, all right? There's a lot of benefits of GoHenry. You can make financial education and building a financial literacy easier for parents, and it's fun for kids. You got the ease and convenience in managing allowance. Like, for example, it's easier than just throwing cash out. You can set boundaries while allowing for independence. Like, you could set a spending limit and choose where the card can be used while still allowing kids to learn the value of money and practice managing it. Okay, you can customize your card if you want to, right? You want to put stuff on it? Go ahead. GoHenry's debit card for kids and app for parents is an easy, fun way to teach kids good money habits. Designed to help young people ages 6 to 18, I'm doing it with my daughter right now, learn about money firsthand and build financial independence. With GoHenry, you can use your card to make purchases online, in stores, or in an ATM, and you can track the spending in real time, all right? You can set savings goals, you can make donations, and you can help your kids learn how to budget and practice generosity. It's easy for parents. It's definitely simpler than handling cash and allowance, boundary setting, and flexibility. You can receive real-time notifications about how much your kid has spent and where. It's founded by parents with the mission to make every kid good with money. It's got excellent reviews on the App Store, Google Play Store, and Trustpilot. All right? Get started at GoHenry.com and get one free month with the promo code HONEYDEW. That's one free month at GoHenry.com, promo code HONEYDEW. All right, now let's get back to the do. I'm big on principle, but also, I'm not perfect. No, I fucking yell. I snap. I'll tell you what, I don't yell at my kid. You know, my daughter, she's like, "Dad, you never yell." And I'm like, "Not to you, but, you know, I certainly have my anger issues." But I believe, like, I try working more and more because I don't ever want to lose that edge either. I think losing that edge all the way could be detrimental to us.
Yeah.
Because in a backward, fucked up way, it is what has made us who we are.
Right.
It is who this chip on my shoulder, it's never going to be filled in. There's nothing that's going to fill that chip in. And I don't want it to be honest. I want to make those moments that I do that less and less throughout my life. Like, hey, I only did that shit 3 times this year. You know what I mean? Or 2 times, not this week, this month. So I don't want that edge to go, because as much as it's hurt me at times, it's also helped me get all the way right here to sit and talk to you. And I feel like the same thing for you too. Like, there's just this metal that you've built that it shouldn't go away. It's an armor that I don't think you're ever going to be able to take it off.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't think it ever goes away for sure. But that is an interesting and better way to look at it, that it's not always fucking my life over. It's probably giving me a lot of drive.
We're alive because of it.
Right.
We're alive because of it.
Like the whole serious thing, like that falling out, I didn't have time to bitch about it. I was like, we need to get it going. I'm still like, hey, downloads, everybody. But I'm not, man. You know what I mean? No one's having me on the
boo.
I don't have time for that. Like, let's just go get shit done.
I say this a lot. One of my favorite sayings is, I come in peace, ready for war.
Nice.
Don't ever get rid of that edge, but come here. But if you want to go, we'll go.
Right.
We'll go. You know what I mean? All right. You want to go? We'll go.
You know? The casual will go. That's the most dangerous one.
It is. Yeah, we'll go. And
it's really not that big of a deal for me.
I'm not a talker. I'm just going to come in and throw that punch, whether I hit you or not, because I know I'm out of shape.
Do you see that?
It's my cardio.
You better win
quick,
right?
That's what I'm saying. My cardio is an issue.
I know. Everybody could say that. Every time I do the Ellis Mania, that's kind of like when people that don't fight, that haven't had a fight in their life, it's not so much. You could be fit. You could train for a fight. But if you've never had one and it's an organized fight, everybody holds their breath and punches for the fucking, for the, it's over in 35 seconds. They've just gone.
Yeah.
And then they go, and then the other guy's like, and it's just like what you watch two people with so much fear and so much little oxygen in their lungs trying to understand which one they should pick first. It's one of my fun, my favorite thing is the double hand on your knees.
As soon as you see that. Yeah, it goes from the waist first to the, then down
but
here.
But when the other guy's so tired, when he sees that, he partakes. That's happened at Alice Mania a few times where both guys are just like
you did it first. All right, all right.
And I'm like, you guys are awesome, giving it their all. I'm all doing right. that again.
Are you really?
Yeah, this year we're going to try and do it in Vegas again.
Promote it.
Well, I don't have the date.
All right, well, when you do, come back and promote
it. Supposed to be at the Virgin Hotel that was the Hard Rock. The Hard Rock.
Oh, okay. Back. That's the Virgin now?
Yeah.
Is that like Virgin Airlines, Virgin,
yeah,
that company?
Yeah,
Okay. All right, so back to heroin.
Yeah, so I guess I moved back to Australia because kind of my tail between my legs. I mean, my Australian wife, we moved back to Australia. I think I still was getting paid by some companies in America. Back then, you kind of still had to be in contests, and I was not doing that. So I kind of figured I was being retired, and I had to accept it because I felt like going to contest was such a nightmare with this guy that it was no longer fun for me. So I didn't really added it up pretty easy. If it's going to be just a giant anxiety attack the whole time, then I'm not going to go. So I go back to Australia, and then I don't have any time. Everybody there has a job, all my friends. So I'm just hanging out all day. So I get drunk. Whenever I get drunk, then I try to get ecstasy or some fucking meth or some coke, didn't matter. But then I figured out that there's a place in St. Kilda where all the prostitutes, the one like the junkie ones, so it's $50 to get a blowjob or bang them or whatever.
Okay.
So I would drink enough to where that switch would go on, where I'm like, right, now it's time to go there. And I would go there, and then I noticed that they were addicted to heroin. And I was like, this heroin, do you have any? And one of them was like, yeah. And I was like, let me buy some off you. And she's like, okay, weirdo. So then I bought some. So then my new routine was get drunk, go to the prostitute thing, get some heroin, and get a blowjob. And then
would you fuck them?
Nah.
Okay. Nah, I wanted to ask you if they would make you wear protection.
Sometimes I've got a blowjob from a hooker in the bushes in St. Kilda where I had a rubber on and I could feel the heat. And I was like, this rubber might not do, and I might need two to deflect the amount of sexually transmitted diseases that are in her mouth.
Oh my God.
It was burning. I'm like, she got thrush in her mouth. It was that hot.
Fuck.
Streets are tough, dude, when you're doing heroin. You got to suck off everybody. I feel like I was probably one of their better clients, you know?
You're VIP now.
I had a nice dick and stuff, at least. I don't know. So I go to this parking lot where I get the foil and chase the dragon. And this time, not like the first time, this time I figure out how to get real high on it to the point where I start vomiting. Which is so gnarly. You vomit and then you say to yourself, that was one of the best times I've ever had. Me sitting in a parking lot by myself vomiting. And I'm like, I can't wait to get back to that feeling because I hated my situation so much. I've been running from so many things that there was no more room left. I just had to face that I'm a runner, you know? Like you fucking chickened out of this whole thing. So then I really just didn't fucking care. And I remember just making the decision next time I see the prostitutes, I'm going to ask them if they can shoot me up. So I went there and I got two girls, you know, because I still was getting paid from being a skateboarder. So I still had money. So, you know, and money didn't mean, I didn't understand it. You know, I was just like, yeah, fucking, you know, have the money and yeah, give me some heroin and shoot me up. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, because I don't know how to do it. So hook me up. And so I'm having sex with one of them. And then they
did have sex with her.
Yeah.
Do you wear a condom for that?
I can't remember.
God damn.
I think they make, I don't remember.
Where are you having, where are you in?
Okay, so they took me to this house that was a lot, it was the all the curtains are rooms, so the walls are just curtains.
Like massage parlor type shit.
So yeah. I don't even know. I'm so fucking high. I don't even know how I got in there or where I am. So I'm banging one of them, and then the other one, like, fucking, you know, taps the fucking thing.
You can fuck on heroin?
Well, let me finish the story. I am fucking her.
Yeah,
and
you
then
are.
That goes in, and I'm gone. I'm out. So
you pass out like
I don't remember anything. I woke up in a park, freezing cold, shaking. So I'm unconscious for a long period of time. People had to carry me somewhere and dump me. So they robbed me, took me everything
of course,
I had,
yeah.
And then they left me in this park where I know it to be a park where you can't be in there late at night. You get killed. Like it's just the sketchiest part of Melbourne. The end. So I wake up and I don't even realize, years later, I realize that I might have OD'd or I definitely was in a lot of trouble and nobody was going to help me. I was going to die in that park. But at the time, I remember thinking, okay, that was not fun. All the other heroin that I was doing, pretty cool. That one
that
was real bad. And I never did it again, never had any interest in it again.
Walk away from it there.
Yeah.
All right.
So I moved on from that, and that was and it was still ecstasy and cocaine.
All right. There's something you said you wanted to talk about. You said scarification.
Oh, yeah. So
what is
man,
that?
Man, this is an accident. So I'm friends with, like, my wife is friends with a bunch of porn stuff. So I'm their friends, too. But, you know, like some of them got a crazy life, and one of them, my friend, has a split tongue. You know, she cut her tongue. So she's into crazy stuff. So her best friend is a guy that does scarification. One time I went over to their house. It's when they cut a picture into your skin by using a scalpel and they cut and peel your skin off.
Wait, what?
So I don't really know what's happening. I got a podcast, The Jason L Show, by myself while I had the Sirius show. And it was more about me just being drunk and talking to porn stars. So they go, what about doing scarification? I go, I'll do scarification. And he's like, yeah, we'll bring him over and he can do it while you're doing the show. I'm like, yeah, okay, sounds like a good idea. I didn't think about it. I didn't I'd already been to her house to watch another girl have one of her pussy flaps cut off.
First of all, you call it a pussy flap.
It's not a pussy flap. What is it?
A lip, maybe a lip.
Is it a labia? It's not even a labia.
Yeah, it's a labia.
Is it a labia?
Yeah, but
well, she had a crooked bat wing.
Cut off a what?
A crooked bat wing.
They cut it. You saw that,
dude? She said. I said, "Can I get?" She was like, "Yeah,
the
come
life
up here."
You have lived.
I was the pussy was right here, and I was like, "Oh," because he's like, he holds it and goes, "Yeah,"
and straightened it out for her, like made it look nice.
Yeah, she cut it. He cut both sides to make him even.
Oh my god!
And then, so I was like, "Yeah, that guy's crazy. He's the guy that does like doctor stuff, but he's just like a tattooist. That's wild." But he came over, and then they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna cut the thing." And I'm like, and he gets the scalpel and comes towards my leg, and I'm like, "Whoa, wait, you ain't gonna numb it or anything?" He's like, "Oh, it doesn't work for the top of the skin because." It's just the top of your flesh that like it won't. We find you won't even really feel it, and I'm like, okay. So when he starts cutting this fucking logo into my leg,
so he takes a picture and lays it over. Just
he
the
drew
same,
he
the same
drew
way
it,
like we do a temp tattoo,
yeah, like a tattoo
first. Okay,
he drew it with a marker,
right?
And then he went through the marker with a scalpel.
Got it. Just so a tattoo, but instead of the needle gun, it's a scalpel he's putting in.
Yeah, but it doesn't. Tattoos do hurt more than a scalpel cutting
oh, really?
Your own flesh off. Yeah.
I wouldn't think so.
No, but it makes you feel sick.
What do you mean?
I didn't know that he was going to run a scalpel down my – it occurred to me how this really works. And then all of a sudden he's running this scalpel down there. And then when he gets enough on, he peels it and then starts cutting under it. And I'm like – I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Is this bloody
I'm like,
everywhere?
I feel like I'm gonna pass out. And he's like, really, you're okay? And I'm like, I might need a second here. But there was no pain. It was just gross. It was like the grossest feeling ever. I found
Where
out that
it?
Day that that's on my shin. You got a Red Dragon logo.
Oh yeah.
It's starting to like go away. But
so how long ago did you get it? How long does it take to heal?
Like 3 years ago.
And it's start. Oh, you mean it's starting to go away?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but it's a very painful thing, as in just your mind watching it. I don't really like getting my blood taken out.
No, see, I don't mind any of that stuff.
Do you watch it?
Yeah, all the time. I'll tell you what made me sick one time. I had a cyst. I had a cyst in my balls, and I had to go for
you
an
can't
ultrasound
pop that like
on
a pimple, can
it.
You?
No, you just leave it. You just leave.
Wait,
it.
Do you have like a third ball?
No, it's a tiny little thing. It's
you have
not
a small
ball.
Third ball.
I got like a little junior varsity guy,
little
company hanging on. You know
nice.
What I mean? Like what are those little monkeys that go on the backs of alligators and shit? It's
right. Like what are those that fish that like lives off the back of a shark?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
But I had to go get an ultrasound, and you know, and they do this whole like they treat your dick very professionally, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, they towels and they fluff it up and put shit up under
Wait,
your
they fluff
balls.
Your dick up?
No, they put it. They set it on the towel. You
oh,
know
okay.
What I mean, they set
yeah.
you there, and then they pop up your balls, and then they squirt the solution on.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Put
and
the
then,
gel on.
Yeah, and then she's doing the wand.
Nice.
And it doesn't feel bad.
It feels good. Yeah.
You know, it feels good.
Especially
I'm like, yeah, play them
it.
Out because I like my balls played with.
I don't know anybody that doesn't like their balls being played with.
I exceptionally like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
Tweaker.
I go, hey, what are you seeing over there? And she goes, oh, let me show you. And she turns the monitor, and I see the 3D imaging of my ball. I go, is that my testicle? She goes, yeah. And immediately I was like, ha! All of a sudden,
oh, wow.
seeing it roll made my stomach just like, bah! Oh, it was disgusting.
Man.
I couldn't take – and then she was like, I want you to push down like you're relieving your bowels. And when I would, this little red area would pop up where the cyst was. She goes, there it is. That's how I see it. And I'm like, oh, turn that fucking screen. I couldn't take that shit.
Man, I got a vasectomy, and I went live on Instagram for it. So I'm talking or whatever, and they're cutting me open, and the nurse goes, oh, wow, you've got unusually thick balls.
And
I'm like, hell yeah, this is live on Instagram. Like, fucking mission accomplished. I'm fucking studding out over here live on Instagram. And then all of a sudden, because I've got unusually thick balls, he's got a problem with trying to pull this fucking cord in my nuts. So he's all of a sudden, he's like, oh, man, this is really difficult. And then pulls on something, and I feel like a crazy...
No.
Dude... Like a horse kick to the testes. All of a sudden, I'm like, it's like, ooh, and I'm holding the phone.
God,
I'm like,
you're holding the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Still.
I was like, oh, shit. Because every time I feel like I'm going to faint, I do a. I fight it. A couple of times. One time I dislocated my knee, and then I went on vacation and I had a knee brace to go on vacation because he broke it sideways. So I had like a proper motocross knee brace on the whole time in Mexico. And then I was getting a blowjob naked with no knee brace on. And then room service came and I was like, oh, and I was on the balcony and I went to get up to get it. And my foot slipped and my knee went out again.
Oh,
went,
duk, duk. Shit.
And she goes to get the food because she just sees me go down grabbing the leg. And I'm in the just on the balcony going, stay conscious. Works almost every time. I never fainted.
Oh, shit. I had a doctor. My doctor, he's still my doctor. Dr. Star. What's up, Dr. Star?
I lost my doctor, man.
He
was Tom Segura's doctor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he left. If Tom's like more powerful than me.
Well, he's moving to Austin, too.
I wonder if that. He probably went there, right? Fucking sticking his finger up everyone's ass in Texas. Son of a bitch. Man, everybody left.
My doctor told me one time, he's giving me his name. He's like, he goes, you have an unusually pronounced divider. And I go, what are you talking about? Like the line in between my balls? He goes,
you're
yeah. No. The line, like on your ball bag, there's a line that goes
oh,
on
where
your
God
balls.
Sewed you up. Yeah.
Yeah. Where- Never heard that ever, dude. Where God sewed you up.
Come on, man. Praise
and
God.
I go, is that good? Is that bad? He goes, I'm just saying it's, you know, you got to pronounce it.
Yeah,
them,
I don't even
like,
know why he's saying that.
I'm like, that's a weird, that's what I tell him. We talk like that.
Business
like, that's a weird fucking thing to say to somebody.
You got
know what
a fucking ugly head, doctor. You know what I mean?
The hell? He's like, it's not wrong with you. It's just, you know, I can actually see your line. I don't see the line a lot of times on guys' balls. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about other guys' balls.
Weird.
In a medical fucking thing. Yeah.
A lot of back and forth on the balls.
He's the best doctor, though.
Okay.
One day I go in, and I've had him for like 20 years, and he doesn't bullshit or anything. And we were doing a physical. I go, aren't you going to check my balls? He goes, do you want me to check your balls? I'm like, well, not if you don't need to check them. He's like, I can tell you don't have a hernia. I'm like, oh, okay, then leave my balls.
Dude, I need a new doctor. I got hemorrhoids right now that are freaking me out. It's like fucking hands coming out of my ass. I'm in hell over here, dude. I'm sitting on one cheek this whole show.
Say, we'll wrap this up.
I'm fucking cutting angles right now just to survive.
What's happening back there, dude?
I got hemorrhoids, and then, you know, I mean, I keep doing stuff in my butt, so I got to stop doing butt stuff.
Yeah, you got to stop doing butt
stuff. But also, when they flare up, you're not supposed to work out, and I just work out all the time. So I got to the point where now I can't work out for a couple of days because it's just stinging. And you can't see a butt doctor for like 2 months.
Are they bagged up?
Yeah, they're like, go to urgent care. I'm not going to urgent care to show my dick. One time I went to urgent care to show a lady my ass, and she was like, whoa, you got to see like she didn't even touch it. She went, whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like, it's hurting, dude. One time, dude, the same place, same lady. One time I go there because, you know, getting STDs. And I'm like, I think I got fucking chlamydia. And she's like, oh, yeah, how do you know that? I'm like, because I've had it a couple times. And she's like, pull my pants down, show my dick. And she's like, how do you, because I've got a Ronnie rollback, I'm uncut. And she's like, how do you, and I'm like, how do you get a fucking dick?
How do I get my head out of this
How do you
thing?
Get a human dick out? How do you get the knob out? Like, how do you pull the jacket down? Same way everything fucking comes. Like, how do you put socks on, fuckface? You know? You're a fucking professional. Pull my fucking dick back.
Oh,
she made me do it.
Oh, I got one of these. Shirley, come on back here. We got one. I got a specialist comes in, just sleeves it down for you.
It's not. How difficult of a concept is it to roll a dick back?
I was hoping she'd be like, whoa, you got to go see a specialist. I don't know what that is.
She might be right.
Oh, dude, you're the best, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Let's give your asshole a rest here, for real. But before we do, again, promote everything, please, all of it.
If there's anybody out there that's a professional and wants to see my anus to give me some help, that would be cool because the streets don't want to see it. So I do need help. Thank you, doctors. Because I know doctors, they love you, dude, for sure.
My doctor does. Every time I'm in there, he's like, one of my best patients. He probably does that for everybody.
I don't want your doctor to see my ass because he might tell you how bad it is.
He probably will tell me about it. I had to send him to a specialist.
Yeah, everybody should check out the Jason Ellis Show. It's free. You can just check it out. If you don't like it, okay, fucking fuck you. What the fuck? I thought it was pretty good myself. But yeah, check it out. And then Wolf Knives Store, as I said, you'll be helping me make that money from the money that I got from my friend fucking my ex-wife. So think about that when you go there.
That's insane.
And then Hawk versus Wolf, that's a free podcast. And then, of course, I have a Patreon just like Ryan over here because I copy his stuff. So the Jason L. Show has a Patreon /EllisMate. And I think that's it. I think that's all. Really just care about the Jason L. Show podcast. I'm really trying to push it out there so that podcast people know that I'm here too, you know, just trying to hang out with everybody.
And I do want to also mention your Hawk versus Wolf that's drops.
Yeah. The 24th. So May that's 24th. That's a big deal too.
All
hopefully that helps the Jason
of
Ellis
course
show.
It will. It'll all help. Everything helps. It'll all feed in. You'll
not
see
as much as this, dude.
Well, that's flattering. I love hearing that.
That's
though,
why I think I'm plugging the show more this time, because the last time you're like, plug the show, I'm like, yeah, the Jason Ellis Show, check it out.
You were just getting started too, weren't you?
We probably had like three episodes.
Yeah, you were just getting underway. It's hard as shit to get a show off the ground too.
We figured out apparently people don't want us to have guests on. I'm like, hell yeah. Do you know how hard it is to get people in there, especially in a pandemic?
It's even when it's not. The hardest part of podcasting is getting two or three people to sit down in a room for an hour on the same goddamn day. It's such a pain in the
How did everybody get so busy?
Right?
Well, like, I know you're all taking shits and stuff. Like, you got time.
Thank you for coming on. Dude.
Anytime, dude. Anytime at all.
Anytime you want, you are welcome. I know we're not done with you. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.